Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Beth, for what you said. It's a beautiful thing. It's like, because we've all been taught to examine ourselves, and for you to remind us to, when we look at ourselves, realize we've been cleansed. That's the only thing to think when you look at yourself, is to realize you've been cleansed, you know? Past tense, right? Past tense. Glory to God. We'll dismiss the children to children's church. Oh, wait, no. We'll give everybody an opportunity to give. Sorry, guys. And while that's going on, I just want to thank everybody for their generosity. And we get testimonies in all the time, and you guys don't always get to hear them because people don't always want them to play. But just this week, to share one of them with you guys, I was feeling a little discouraged and frustrated because, you know, just the way people are, human beings in the earth, you know, we get so passionate. And just this past week, it was a difficult week because, you know, people don't like the stuff that you preach. And I don't mean people here, but in the world. They become angry because you preach freedom and you preach the cross. And some weeks you get more voices than other weeks, and you could feel discouraged and frustrated sometimes. And out of the blue, this guy sent me a 7-minute voice recording of a testimony about what the messages are doing in his life. And the guy broke down crying. He's a 60-something-year-old man, and he broke down crying about how he'd been a Christian his whole life, and he never understood what happened at the cross. And he finally understood what happened in listening to the messages. And the guy's sobbing on the recording. And that isn't just a recording for me, guys. I know we've been taught this idea that the church is the preacher. But the church is not the preacher. The church is all of us. And in all of us coming together and loving on one another, who we each are is able to come out as one. And so there's a word coming out of this fellowship into the earth because all of us have come together in love. And that word is setting people free. And so we all partake in that because we're all playing a role in it because it's a body. It's not a guy. It's a body that's come together and revealing the love of God to the earth, and people are being touched. So we couldn't be doing that here without all of us coming together. So we thank you for your generosity and your support of the fellowship here. We couldn't do it without you. That's it? All right, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And I'll ask the guy, but if he gives me his approval, I may play that 7 minutes one day for everybody to hear because it'll really move you. No baseball today? Oh, wow. Yeah, well, I figured, you know, baseball. It's the South, you know? Baseball rules. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Father, we come together today, and not that today's the only day that we remember the resurrection, but Lord, we come together today to celebrate you raising Jesus from the dead, and in that you raised Jesus from the dead, that you raised all of us up from the dead. I thank you, Father, that the reason you did that is so we could experience resurrection life in the here and now. I thank you, Father, that the words that will come out of my mouth today will be filled with your words about the resurrection, your words about what was said and done in the resurrection, that this word can be born in people's hearts and that they could find their lives now being born from the resurrection of Jesus, that they can find newness of life being born in their hearts, in their minds, in their bodies, and in their souls. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, we have Jesus dying on the cross, and then we have him being buried in the grave, and then they say on the third day, they came to the tomb, and the stone was moved out of the way, and he was risen. They couldn't find him, right? He wasn't there any longer. And that's what we're here talking about today, is the resurrection, and that Jesus was raised from the dead. And, you know, the people tried to move the stone out of the way, but they couldn't move the stone out of the way. But the angels came and moved the stone out of the way. And the stone, you know, can be a picture of the stony heart of man. and man not being able to move their own stony heart out of the way. But in the resurrection, what God did was He moved our stony heart out of the way, and He came to give us a heart of flesh, or a heart of flesh, which means He came to give us a heart that was kindred to His heart. He came to give us a persuasion or a belief or the faith that He has in Himself so that we could have the same faith that He had. And in having the same faith that He had, we could find His life or resurrection life or newness of life being born in us. Glory to God. And so that's what we want to get together and do when we talk about the resurrection. And I don't want to spend a bunch of time going over the gospel accounts because I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty about what actually happened in the resurrection so we could actually know instead of just seeing there was someone raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus was raised from the dead. We glory in that, but let us now know what it means that He was raised from the dead so we can find that born in our lives. And we'll take the place we're going to work from Romans 6, chapter 1 to 11. Romans 6, chapter 1 through 11, and I'm just going to read all the verses real quick, and then we'll go from there and explain this whole thing. And I'm going to draw a line from the beginning to the end. I'm going to draw a line of what happened in the garden and how the resurrection causes us to overcome what happened in the garden. So we could see a clear line throughout the entire history of mankind. And we could see this thing for what it really is. And we could see what the resurrection really is. And we could say, ah, glory to God. Oh, man, you can become happy. So it says, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him, for in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, Jesus is the manifold wisdom of God, which means I could get busy explaining thousands of different things about the resurrection. I can't do that today, so I'm going to look at one hard truth about the resurrection today that deals with what it means to be dead to sin and to walk in newness of life, so that we could find newness of life being born in us. And that's what we're going to look at. But the resurrection is not just a historical event. It is the word of the Father about mankind. It is the voice of the Father about who man is being released into the earth in order that we could live from the persuasion that says, I am, instead of living from the persuasion that says, I am not, but I can become by my own ability. So we can walk in newness of life, glory to God. So what's happened is the resurrection has become just a historical event to all of us. Where we say, yeah, Jesus was raised from the dead. Glory to God. He conquered death. And we don't know what that means. But what God did in the resurrection, the Father released His word or His voice into the earth about the identity of man, about who man is, so that man could then have a place to live from or a persuasion to live from that could say, I am, instead of living from a persuasion that said, I am not, but I can become by using my ability. Okay? That's what we want to look at with the resurrection. So when we look at what it means to walk in newness of life, walking in newness of life means to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be walking in newness of life, to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Now, we've all been taught a perverted view of what that word sin there means in the Bible. Okay, that word sin there, when it says to consider yourselves dead to sin, it doesn't mean to consider yourselves dead to the works of the flesh that a person might commit in their life. That's not what it's talking about there. It's not saying, well, you do these bad things, now stop doing those bad things. That's not what it means to consider yourself dead to sin, okay? Considering yourself dead to sin means to consider yourself dead to the persuasion or the wisdom that says, I am not like God, but I can become like God by what I do. It means to consider yourself dead to the wisdom that says, I am not the God kind, but I can become by what I do. I am not as I ought to be, but I can become as I ought to be by using my own ability. It means to consider yourself dead to the wisdom that says, I can clothe myself with glory by producing the fruit of God's life, and in doing that, then I'll be like God, or I'll show that I am His son, I am His child, that I am like Him. So when it says to consider yourself dead to sin, that's what it means to consider yourself dead to. Consider yourself dead to the wisdom that says, I lack glory and honor, but if I use my ability, I can gain glory and honor by what I do. That's what it means to consider yourself dead to sin, okay? And I know if you're like, what? What do you mean? We're going to hit that and prove it, and we can have a whole lot of freedom. So being dead to sin means we're dead to an existence where we live from the persuasion that says, I lack glory, I lack honor, but I can get it through my ability to do, to get, to have, okay? So anytime that we're living from a place where we say, I lack this, and if I can get this, then I will have everything. That is what it means to consider ourselves dead to. Consider ourselves dead to the wisdom that says, I am not, but I can become. Okay? Now, being alive to God speaks of being made a partaker of the life and fellowship that is found in the Godhead between Father, Son, and Spirit through Jesus. Okay, so being alive to God means that we're made partakers of the life and fellowship that is found in the Godhead between Father, Son, and Spirit through Jesus. And that's also walking in newness of life. So walking in newness of life is that God has given us a new place to reason from about who we are in the resurrection of Jesus. And this new place that He's given us to reason from about ourselves in the resurrection of Jesus causes us to experience His life. And that's walking in resurrection life. So listen, mankind had been walking around functioning from the platform of we are not, but we can become. Okay? Now God has come and given us a persuasion in the resurrection of Jesus about who we are that says I am. So that we can now live from the platform of I am instead of looking at ourselves and seeing what we lack in order to be full of glory and honor, seeing what we lack in order to be as we ought to be, and then doing whatever it is, or then using our ability in order to try to compensate for what we feel we lack. That's the platform that God destroyed in the resurrection. When He raised Jesus from the dead, He created a new place for us to reason from about ourselves, which says we lack nothing. That's why it says the Lord is our shepherd, we do not lack. Because He leads us into a place where we can think of ourselves the way that He thought of Himself. And the way Jesus thought of Himself was, I am. You see, Jesus came and He didn't reason from the place that said, I'm not like God, but I can become. I'm not the Son, but I can become. I'm not full of glory and honor, but I can become. You see, He was dead to sin. He was dead to the wisdom that said, you are not, but you can become. And because of that, He walked in newness of life. The place that He reasoned from about who He was I am. That's newness of life, man. When you begin to find your life born from I am, now you're experiencing newness of life instead of I am not, but I can become. I don't have, but I can get. I lack this, but I can get. That's the persuasion that we were raised up from in the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we're going to look at this in Adam and Eve, and we're going to look at the temptation of Jesus, and we're going to look at how Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and we're going to see what all went down in this so we could see God doing what He's doing to give us newness of life. Thank you, Jesus. So in the garden before the fall, we see Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the day. They were already the children of God. They were already like God. They were already full of glory and honor because they came from God. They were already that way, okay? They didn't lack anything. They had everything. They were already as they ought to be, okay? And now, at some point, we see the serpent come in, and the serpent came to Adam and Eve with a word that said to them, everybody knows what the serpent said, right? The serpent came to Adam and Eve and said, you're not like God, but you can become if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they already were the children of God. They already were as they ought to be. They were already the God kind. They were already like God. They already were full of glory and honor. And the serpent comes to them and he tempts them by telling them, well, you're not like God, but if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you can become like God. Okay? So he comes with his wisdom. And that's a picture of what sin is. He comes with his wisdom in order to tempt Adam and Eve to partake of his wisdom or partake of sin by believing that they are not, but they can become. By getting them to believe that they lack the attributes to be like God. Okay? So, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents sin. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents sin. It speaks of seeing the fruit of God's life and then laboring and toiling in an attempt to clothe upon ourselves with glory by producing the fruit of God's life. So Satan says, well, you're not really like God yet, but if you eat from this wisdom, if you partake from this fruit, and where you look at who God is, you look at the beautiful life that he has, and then you use your ability to create that life by producing his fruit through your own ability, then you can be like God. And that's what sin is, brothers and sisters. And so that's the voice of the serpent. And to put it really, really compactly, anything that comes from the place of I am not, but I can become is not of God. Because God is the great I am. When Moses said, who shall I tell them sent me? He said, tell them, I am. Jesus said, I am. And everybody fell backwards onto the ground, okay? So the serpent comes with a word. He releases a word into the earth that says, you are not, but you can become. Now God and Jesus is released a word into the earth through his resurrection that says, you are. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Glory to God. So when the serpent speaks of Adam and Eve not being like God, it speaks of the serpent saying they're not God's kind. It speaks of him saying they are not God's image and likeness. It speaks of him saying they are not God's children. The voice of the serpent is saying to them, they are not of Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for God in Genesis. He's saying you're not of Elohim. You are not of the divine ones. You lack something. You're lacking something in order to be the image and likeness of God. You're lacking something in order to be his children. You're lacking something in order to be like him. That's the word that he comes with. And that's the temptation. He comes with them, tempting them to partake of his wisdom, which is, I can become by my own ability. I can become full of glory and honor by my own ability. I can become as I ought to be if I do, if I get, if I have. Okay? That's the voice. That's the word. It's like, for me, I function from the place of, I am not, but I can become for so long that I was always trying to do things in my own life in order to try to present myself to be as I ought to be. I was running and training for the Olympics, trying to win a gold medal, trying to set world records, because I was functioning from this platform that said, I am not, but I can become. And so I was weaving this web of my life in the world, trying to present myself to be as I ought to be. Anything that any of us do in order to try to present ourselves to be as we ought to be is taken from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's taken from the wisdom of the serpent, because we're functioning from the place that we're not as we ought to be, but we can become. That's what sin is, man. So that's what it means to consider yourselves dead to sin. It means to consider yourself dead to that wisdom. Glory to God. So the serpent came to Adam and Eve with the word that said, you're not like God, but you can become by using your ability to produce the fruit of his life and clothe upon yourself with glory, with the glory you see in God. Satan came to Adam and Eve with a word against them being the image and likeness of God. He came with a word against them being the children of God. And in coming to them with the word that said they are not like God, but they can become, he was telling them that they're orphans. He was telling them that they're lacking in something they needed to be like God. He was telling them they were lacking in something in order to be the image and likeness of God. He was tempting them to partake of sin. He was tempting them to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by telling them there was something they lacked to be like God. Does that make sense to you guys? Do you see the platform from where Satan came to Adam and Eve? Because this is going to be critical for seeing what God did in the resurrection to save us from that. This is how he tempts you. He comes and tells you you lack. He comes and tells you you're not as you ought to be. He comes and tells you you're not, but you can become. That's what he comes to tell you. It's the same thing he came and told Adam and Eve. And then he tries to get you to partake of sin or partake of his wisdom where you're all the time trying to become. Okay? That's what he wants to do. So because Adam gave into the temptation, because Adam and Eve gave into the temptation to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they gave into the temptation to partake of sin, it caused Adam to walk in death and darkness instead of walking in life. Because he functioned from the place of I am not, but I can become, he walked in death and darkness instead of newness of life. Okay? Walking from the platform of I am not, but I can become causes us to walk in death and darkness instead of walking in newness of life. Where death had dominion over Adam, it had dominion over him because he lived from the persuasion that said he was not the God kind, but he could become by using his ability. And that's what caused death to reign over Adam because he was all the time laboring and toiling trying to become. He was all the time laboring and toiling, trying to become the thing that he already was. He was all the time laboring and toiling, trying to become the image and likeness of God, trying to become the child of God, trying to become like God, but he already was. And because of that, he was walking in darkness, and this darkness that he walked in caused death to have dominion over him. Okay? That's what happened to Adam. So Adam was not walking in newness of life because he was alive to sin. He was a partaker of sin because the place he reasoned from about himself was that I can use my ability to become something. I can use my ability, and in using my ability, then I can become something great. In using my ability, then I can become full of glory and honor. In using my ability, I can reveal myself to be as I ought to be. And because he partook of that sin, because he partook of that wisdom, he walked in darkness and death reigned over him. That's what it's talking about, guys, when it talks about sin. We look at the sin that Adam committed. The sin that Adam committed wasn't that he disobeyed God. That's not the sin that he committed. I hate to break it to everybody. The sin that he committed was that he functioned from the place of I am not, but I can become through my own ability. He said, I can have life through my own ability. I can have glory and honor through my own ability. The only reason God told him not to eat from the tree is because God knew the tree would kill him. God knew the tree would cause him to walk in death and darkness. That's why God told him not to eat from the tree. So the sin that Adam committed wasn't that he disobeyed God's word. It said he partook of a wisdom that said, I am not like God, but I can become like God. I can be justified through my own ability. That's what he did. That's what Adam did. Glory to God. And so, man, so much freedom can just come from understanding that. But we'll keep going. So from Adam to Jesus, mankind was walking in death and darkness because they were partakers of sin. They were partakers of the word that said they were not like God, but they could become by using their own ability. And in partaking of this word, they became married to life through the strength of the flesh. Okay? They became married to life through the strength of the flesh. When Adam, from Adam to Jesus, mankind walked in sin. They walked in sin because they partook of the word that said they are not, they can become. And this married them to life through the strength of the flesh. It married them to an existence where they tried to have life through their own ability instead of having life for free from God. That's what it means to be married to life through the strength of the flesh, where I try to have peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, love, where I try to have all those things by using my ability to do, to get, to have, by getting a house, by getting a good report, by getting accolades, by getting all these things. I can get enough of these things that I can bring forth life through my own ability apart from God. That's what happened to man from Adam to Jesus. They were enslaved to life through the strength of the flesh. Okay? That's what it means to partake of sin. So let us understand what Satan did when he wanted to enslave man to death and darkness and sin. Notice what Satan did. He came and said, "You are not, but you can become." That's the word he came with in order to tempt people to partake of his wisdom, to partake of his logic. That's the word that he came with to enslave mankind to death and darkness so he could reign over them. Okay? Do you guys see that? You guys see? If we, you know, Paul said it like this, "I would not have you ignorant of the devices of Satan." Because if you're ignorant of the devices of Satan, then he can all the time fool you. And in getting you to walk in darkness about the truth about who you are, he can cause his death to reign over you. He can become essentially what it means to be like your God because he's giving birth to his life in you. Okay? So we want to see the devices of Satan in this thing so we can understand what he's doing. When he wanted to enslave man to his system in life, he came with a word against man as the image and likeness of God. He came with a word against man as the children of God. He came with a word that told man they were not the God kind, but they could use their ability to become the God kind. That's the word he came with, okay? Now we want to see what happened to Adam and Eve in Jesus. And then we can see how it is that God causes us to overcome what happened to Adam and Eve by causing us to consider ourselves dead to sin, okay? And we can see how God's the one who strengthens us to consider ourselves dead to sin, and he's the one who brings forth newness of life in us, okay? We don't do it ourselves. We don't use our strength to consider ourselves dead to sin, and we don't use our strength to bring forth God's life in us. That's not how it works. It's God's strength that causes us to consider ourselves dead to sin, and it's God's strength that brings forth his life in us. And his strength to do this can be seen in the word that was made flesh in Jesus. And part of the word that was made flesh in Jesus was made flesh in the resurrection of Jesus. And that resurrection, what it will do when we can hear what that resurrection is, it will strengthen us to consider ourselves dead to the voice of the serpent that said we are not but we can become, and it will strengthen us to walk in newness of life because that word that was made flesh in the resurrection declares to all mankind, you are. And when I can start functioning from the place of I am, then I will consider myself dead to the word that says I am not but I can become. You guys see that? Glory to God. Newness of life is walking from the persuasion that says I am. That's what it means to walk in newness of life. Glory to God. So, in the fullness of time, we see the Word made flesh in Jesus in order to release the voice of the Father into the earth. In the fullness of time, we see the Word made flesh in Jesus in order to release the Word of the Father into the earth. You know, we're very visual creatures, and we look at Jesus and we look at what happened, and we only think of the imagery. We only think of the cross, we only think of the resurrection, and we only think of a picture. And the picture is good. But the Bible says that it was the Word of God that was made flesh. What that means is that the Father is speaking, he's communicating words to us in the event of the resurrection. He's not just giving us a picture that some guy was raised from the dead. He's telling us something in that resurrection. Guys, he's huddling us all together, and he's saying, "Listen, guys, this is what it means that Jesus was raised from the dead." That's what he's trying to do, man. That's what he wants to say to all of us. So in the fullness of time, we see the Word was made flesh in Jesus in order to release the voice of the Father into the earth, okay? Now, Jesus stood in the face of the same kind of temptation that Adam and Eve stood in the face of. He stood in the face of the same kind of temptation that said, "You are not like God. You are not the image and likeness of God. You are not the God kind, but you can become." Except he stood in the face of a much larger scale of a temptation. He stood in the face of the largest temptation that could ever come against the identity of mankind as the image and likeness of God. Against the largest testimony or word that could come against mankind as the image and likeness of God. He absorbed the full force of the temptation of Satan to get him to function from the place of I am not, but I can become. Okay? So, when we see Jesus taking all of the stripes, getting beat down, when he's hung to that thing, and he's getting beat down. See, we only see the image of that happening, right? I watched a bunch of those images this morning, and they moved me in my bowels. And as I was watching those images, do you know, I didn't just see an image. What I heard was the voice of the serpent telling Jesus, "You are not like God, but you can become." With every strap he took, with every rod that was laced against his back, it was the voice of the serpent telling him, "You are not like God, but you can become if you just use your ability." Every time they hit him, it was the voice of the serpent saying, "You're not the God kind, but if you just use your ability, you can become." The same thing that he said to Adam and Eve in the garden, guys. When they pressed the thorns down so hard into his skull that it pierced his skull and he bled from his skull, it was the voice of the serpent telling Jesus, "You're not the image and likeness of God, but if you just use your ability, you can become." When they stripped him naked, it was the voice of the serpent saying to Jesus, "You are not the Son of God, but if you just use your ability to prove it, if you just use your ability to show everyone that you're the Son, that you're full of glory and honor, then you can become." It's the same word that Satan said to Adam and Eve in the garden. Then they stripped that guy naked, and they made him carry a cross, and they hung that guy up on the cross. They divided his clothes. They spit on him. They pulled his hair out of his beard, which is the biggest sign of disrespect and shame you could ever do to a Jewish guy, which would be to pull his beard out. They spat in his face. They pulled his beard out. It wasn't just an action they were doing to him. It was the voice of the serpent coming to Jesus and saying, "You're not the God kind. You are not of God. You are not of Elohim. Look at all these things that are happening to you. Aren't these things the proof that you're not like God?" See, he was tempting Jesus to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just like he tempted Adam and Eve. He was tempting Jesus to function from the place of, "I am not, but I can become." He was tempting Jesus to partake of sin by trying to convince him, by trying to persuade him that he was not the image and likeness of God. He was not the Son of God. He was not full of glory and honor, so that Jesus would then use his ability to become. Same thing we see happen to Adam and Eve, guys. Same thing as what's going down with Jesus. So each blow was the voice of the serpent coming against Jesus. And in that Jesus is the representative of the human race, it was the voice of the serpent coming against man as the image and likeness of God, coming against man as the sons of God. Each blow was the voice of the serpent tempting Jesus to use his ability to become the God kind, to become the Son, by telling him he was not, in order to get him to partake of sin. It was the serpent bringing every ounce of shame that could ever be brought to a person in order to convince Jesus that he was not as he ought to be, in order to tempt Jesus to partake of sin so death could reign over him. Remember, guys, sin here is not saying he was tempting Jesus to go lay with some prostitutes. He was tempting Jesus to partake of the wisdom that said, "I am not, but I can become by using my own ability." That's the sin he was trying to get Jesus to partake of. Okay? So listen, Adam, I've been saying this a lot, and hopefully it's registering so we can start looking at Adam and seeing what happened to Adam, and we could see what happened to him, and then we can know how Satan's going to come to us. But Adam in Hebrew means man. So Adam is a real person that lived on the earth, but he's also a picture of what happened to man. So we can see what happened to man, and so we can be strengthened for it not to happen to us, so that we're not ignorant when Satan comes to us in the same way. We see how Satan came to Adam, we see how Satan came to Jesus, and we know that's how he comes to us. And now we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. So Adam in Hebrew means man. In looking at Adam, we see how Satan will try to come against us. When Satan came with a word against Adam, he came with a word against you and I as the image and likeness of God. He came with a word against you and I as the sons and daughters of God. So the purpose of Satan, guys, is to come to each one of us and tell us we are not the image and likeness of God. The purpose of Satan is to come to each one of us at some point in our life and tell us that we're lacking in some area. And he'll do it through a number of different ways. He could do it just from some failure we think we have in this world, or he could do it through a traumatic event. A traumatic event could happen to us. And just like there was a voice telling Jesus, he was not in the traumatic event that was happening to him, tempting him to use his ability to become. A traumatic event can happen to you and I, and the voice of the serpent can be there in that event telling us, you are not, but you can become. You are not valuable. You are not full of worth. But if you just use your ability, you can become valuable. You can become full of worth. If you just use your ability to create an image of yourself, you can prove you have value. That's the voice of the serpent, man. So the purpose of Satan is to come to each one of us and tell us we are not the image and likeness of God. We're not the children of God. We're not acceptable to God. We're not the God kind. We are not as we ought to be, but we can become by using our ability in order to get all of us to also eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in order to get all of us to also partake of sin, in order to get all of us to live our lives from the platform of I am not, but I can become. I am not happy, but I can become. I am not whatever platform you want to look at where you say I lack, but I can get, right? Whatever platform you want to live from where you say I am not valuable, I am not acceptable, I am not full of value and worth, I am not full of glory and honor, but I can become by using my ability. That's what he comes to each one of us, guys, trying to get us to prove that we are as we ought to be. So every one of us, there's only one thing the serpent can tell you. He can only come to you and point at you and say, you're not as you ought to be. And he could do it through your emotions. He could do it through your physical circumstances in the earth. He could just do it as you're laying there. He could do it by the word that somebody else speaks against you. Somebody else could come and say something negative about you, and the voice of the serpent will be there telling you, you're not as you ought to be. And he's trying to get you to find your life born, or he's trying to get you to live from the place of I am not, but I can become. Okay? When you're walking in death and darkness, and that's the purpose of Satan, he wants to come to each one of us and tell us we are not as we ought to be, but we can become, so that he can get us to walk in death and darkness. Walking in death and darkness is where everything is about I am not, but I can use my ability to become. I am where I say I am not the God kind, but I can become. I am not the image and likeness of God, but I can become. I am not the child of God, but I can become. Those are all the things. I am not lovable, but I can become by doing this. I am not beautiful, but I can become by doing this. I am not a good daughter, but I can become by doing this. I'm not valuable to my parents, but I can become by doing this. I am not a good parent. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good father, but I can become if I just do this. All those things are the voice of the serpent, man, trying to come with the word so that this word can be born in your heart and you spend all your days laboring and toiling trying to become. That causes death and darkness to reign. So now the we're going to look at the part of the verse where it says, where am I at? Let me just open this up and read this. Glory to God. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay, that's the verse we're going to focus on now. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay, so this is where we're going to see the strength of God to cause us to consider ourselves dead to sin and cause us to walk in newness of life or in resurrection life. We're going to see how the strength of God to do these things is seen in Jesus. We're going to see how God flexed out, how God said, look at my guns. You want to come to the gun show? You know, that's like a joke when a guy wants to say he's got big guns, right? Take me to the gun show. Right? So now we're going to see the guns of God to strengthen us to consider ourselves dead to sin and cause us to walk in newness of life in the person of Jesus. Okay? Now listen, that scripture says that Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of God. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now listen, that word glory in the Greek is very interesting, okay? And this word glory means opinion, judgment, view, estimate, whether good or bad concerning someone. In the New Testament, it always speaks of a good opinion concerning one, resulting in praise, honor, and glory. So it says there, guys, that Jesus was raised from the dead by the good opinion of the Father. He was raised from the dead by the good opinion that the Father had of him. Now listen, it also says Jesus was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is the logic, the wisdom of God. So in that Jesus was raised by the good opinion of God, it's not at odds or a contradiction to him being raised by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God contained the good opinion that God had of Jesus. And so that spirit was filled with God's good judgment or good opinion of Jesus. And there was that good opinion contained in his spirit that raised him from the dead. Glory to God. Okay? So listen, Jesus, when he was standing in the face of all those accusations, with every beat down, with every stripe, with all the crown, with being stripped naked, Jesus was, he was being confronted with the word of the serpent that said, "You are not, but you can become." Now, Jesus was strengthened to resist the temptation to partake of sin. He was strengthened to resist the temptation to partake of the wisdom of the serpent that said, "You are not as you ought to be, but you can become if you use your ability." The thing that strengthened Jesus was the good opinion that God had about him. Jesus was strengthened in the inner man to consider himself dead to sin, to consider himself dead to the wisdom that said he was not as he ought to be, but he could use his ability to become. He was strengthened in the inner man to resist that word by the word of the Father's good opinion of him dwelling in his heart. So every time the serpent came with the word to him that said, "You are not man, but you can become," he was strengthened to resist that temptation. He was strengthened to resist the temptation to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by the word of the Father's good opinion of him dwelling in his heart that told him, "You are my kind. You are my son. You are my image and likeness. You are full of glory and honor. You are like me." That's the word that dwelled in his heart, and that word strengthened him to resist the voice of the serpent. Glory to God. Now listen, something beautiful happened in Jesus being strengthened by the word of God to resist the temptation. It says Jesus resisted the temptation so much. He resisted the sin of trying to become by his own ability so much that it resulted in his death. It resulted in his death because he resisted this temptation so much. And in Jesus dying unto sin as the representative of the human race, God could justify mankind as his image and likeness. He could justify mankind as his sons and daughters in the resurrection of Jesus. He could justify man as his kind. He could boldly declare to all of mankind in the resurrection of Jesus, "You are my kind. You are my children. You are full of glory and honor. You are my image and likeness. You are from me. You've been cut from the same rock Jesus was cut from." This is the voice of the Father in the resurrection, boldly declaring, "You're mine." Glory to God. And in declaring this boldly, "You are my kind," what he's doing, guys, in releasing his voice into the earth about who we all are, what he's doing is he's giving us a different place to reason from about who we are that can bring rest to our flesh, that can cause us to consider ourselves dead to sin, that can cause us to walk in newness of life. So in giving us a different place to reason from about who we are in the resurrection of Jesus as our representative, we can find our lives now born from the same place Jesus' life was born from, which is "I am." And so in the resurrection, I can behold the Father telling me, "You are my son, Greg." And now I can find that word strengthening me in the inner man unto the persuasion that says, "I am like God. I'm not going to try to become." You see? And now death and darkness can't reign over me. So Jesus resisted sin unto death so that in his death, there could be a resurrection, and God could raise up a new man from which all people could look upon and find the truth about who they are. Right? And Jesus resisting temptation to sin unto his death, there could then be a resurrection. And in his resurrection, God could raise up a new man that could be the platform that all people could look upon that new man and find the truth about who they are. And in raising up a new man, he established the truth about who man is. And in establishing the truth about who man is, he could seat this truth about who man is above every other system of rule or governance or principality or power that would try to give a voice about the identity of man, that would try to give a voice about who man is, so that every other voice could be drowned out by the voice of the Father that says, "You are." Glory to God, so that every time some other thing comes to us and tries to tell us that we are not, but we can become, we have a new truth. We have a truth that we can behold, that we can look upon, and we can see that truth, and that truth can dwell in our hearts, and we can be strengthened, guys, to consider ourselves dead to every other voice that tries to come to us in this world. That's what it means to consider yourself dead to sin. It's like when my foot got broken and I couldn't run anymore and I couldn't be in the Olympics anymore and I couldn't do all these things that I had all this potential to do. And if I could have only done those things, then I would have been great. There was a voice that came to me. This voice tried to tell me who I was, and this voice told me, "You blew it, Greg. You're not. You didn't. You aren't full of glory and honor." You see, but God revealed what he believes about me. He revealed a truth about who I am in Jesus. And he sat that truth above every other voice that would try to come against me in my life. And now my life can be born from that truth. And when that voice came to me and said, "I am not full of glory and honor, but I can become," the voice that the Father released in the earth through the resurrection told me, "I am." And that strengthened me to consider myself dead to all the other voices. That's what it means to consider yourself dead to sin, guys. Consider yourself dead to any other voice that tries to come to you and give a report about your life that isn't Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Jesus resisting every temptation to try to become the Son by his own self-effort, he died unto sin, so that in God raising Jesus from the dead as the representative of man, by his good opinion of Jesus, we could hear the Father's good opinion of us. You see that? You see how, I'm going to say that again. In Jesus resisting every temptation to try to become the Son by his own self-effort, he died unto sin, so that in God raising Jesus from the dead as the representative of man, by his good opinion of Jesus, we could hear of the Father's good opinion of us. And then we could have the same point of reference about ourselves. We could have the same place to reason from about ourselves that Jesus had to reason from about himself. Do you see that? In the resurrection, God has given us the same place to reason from about ourselves that Jesus had to reason from about himself when he walked the earth, which was that the Father had a good opinion of him, that the Father said, "He is the Son." The Father said, "You are my kind." This was the place that Jesus reasoned from about his life. And in that God raised him up by his good opinion of Jesus, he was able to declare to all of us his good opinion of us. And now I can reason from the same place about my life that Jesus reason from about his life. Glory to God. And you can start to see how closely related we are to Jesus. So in that I could have the same place to reason from about myself that Jesus had, I can boldly declare I am whenever I hear the voice of the serpent that says, "I am not, but I can become." And in this, I can be strengthened to consider myself dead to that voice. We can be strengthened to consider ourselves dead to sin, and we can be strengthened to walk in newness of life instead of walking in death like Adam, by the voice of the Father. Okay? The voice of the Father comes in to combat the voice of the serpent so that we can be strengthened to walk in newness of life instead of walking in death like Adam. Glory to God. So when God raised Jesus from the dead as a representative of the human race, it was the end of the debate over who man is. It was the end of the debate over who man is. It was God giving his opinion of who man is in the person of Jesus Christ, so that man could be justified as his kind, justified as his image and likeness, justified as his sons and daughters. And he could destroy the power behind the word of the serpent,
The resurrection is the Father releasing His voice, releasing His word about who man is into the earth, so that all who can hear His voice and be persuaded by it can find themselves strengthened by His word to consider themselves dead to sin and walk in newness in life, so that all who could hear the voice of the Father and are persuaded by it can be raised up from the effects of sin, raised up from death and darkness, and find resurrection life born in them. Okay? So that in the voice of the Father being released into the earth, declaring His word about who man is, that we are His image and likeness. We are His children. We are His kind. That His word about who we are can dwell in our hearts through His Spirit. And we can have a new place to reason from about ourselves that causes us to consider ourselves dead to sin, dead to the voice of the serpent, dead to the wisdom that says we are not like God, but we can use our ability to become. Because the place we will reason about ourselves will be from I am, and that will cause us to walk in newness of life. Glory to God. If God lives from I am, and we're cut from the rock of God, doesn't that also mean that we should live from I am? Oh, glory to God. It's like, you know, my parents came together and they had a child. I am their child and my last name is Henry because I'm cut from the rock of my father. Now, God said, when Moses said, "What is your name, God? Who shall I say sent me?" He said, "Tell them I am." And so, in that I've been begotten from God, in that I came from God, then my surname is I am. And so now when I walk around like God, functioning from the place of I am, it's only natural that I'm going to experience the life of God, the life that's born from God, functioning from I am. That's newness of life. Glory to God. Glory to God. So this verse says, what this verse says is that whatever it is that raised Jesus from the dead is the very thing that causes us to walk in newness of life. Okay, in that it is the good opinion the Father had of Jesus that raised Him from the dead, that caused death to no longer have dominion over Him. It is the word of the Father's good opinion of us that raises us up from the dead, that raises us up from death having dominion over us. Okay, it is the voice of the good opinion that the Father has of you that He released into the earth in the resurrection of Jesus that will also raise you up from the dead, that will raise you up from a life where death has dominion over you, where you're all the time laboring and toiling trying to become, trying to get everything perfect in your life so that when you get it all perfect, you can look at it and you say, "I am." That works death, man. That brings death. That's what it means for death to have dominion over us. We walk in newness of life. I am. If my car breaks down, it's not the voice that I'm not the son. It's just that my car broke down. If I have some money problems, it's not because I didn't go to church. It's not because I didn't give a tithe at church. It's not because I wasn't doing the right things with God. See, that's the voice of the serpent trying to point to you and saying, "Well, you're not like God. Look at this." You see? You see how that works? So death hath no dominion over us. Death hath no dominion over us. And we'll finish with this. Death hath no dominion over us. Now listen, guys, the resurrection is about a future resurrection of our bodies. But just like Paul said with everything, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the first fruits of this. We have the first fruits of that. We have the first fruits of what Jesus did. There's also the first fruits of the resurrection that's going to come to our bodies, okay? And so the resurrection of Jesus is not just talking about a future resurrection of our bodies. That's not the only thing that the resurrection is talking about, okay? It's talking about being raised up from a life of walking in death and darkness. In the same way that death had no dominion over Jesus through the good opinion the Father always had of Him, okay, death also has no dominion over us when the good opinion the Father has revealed for us in Jesus can dwell in our hearts. In the same way Jesus was raised from the dead by the good opinion of the Father, we are raised from a life of walking in death and darkness by the good opinion the Father always had of us. So listen, guys, if an opinion came to you at some point in your life that was an opinion other than you are full of glory and honor, that is an opinion that would cause you to walk in death and darkness. So if somebody came to you you with a word, whether it was a word in your head or a word because of something that happened to you or a word from some other person in your life. In that word was not the word of the Father's good opinion of you. If that word dwells in your heart, it causes you to walk in death and darkness. So the Father has raised Jesus up as the representative of your life so that he could release his opinion about your life into the earth, so that his opinion could dwell in your heart and it could raise you up from the death and darkness that the voice of the serpent came with his lie that caused you to walk in death and darkness. You see that? And we'll just use me as an example. For most of my life as a Christian, even as a Christian, and I think most Christians are walking around in death and darkness, if I'm just being honest. It doesn't mean God doesn't love them. It doesn't mean they're not going to heaven, as we all like to say, in the sweet by and by. That's not what it's talking about when I say that. But for most of my life, even as a Christian, I was still walking in darkness and death because I was functioning from the place, or I was reasoning from the place about myself that was the voice of the serpent that said I was not like God, but I could use my ability to become. Now that word permeated every area of my life, where the place I lived from was a place of what I lack. The place I lived from was, I am not as I ought to be, but I can become by using my own ability. I am not pleasing to people, but I can become by what I do. I am not acceptable, but I can become by what I do. Because this was the word I was reasoning from about myself, it caused me to walk in death and darkness. I was all the time laboring and toiling, trying to become through the fruit I could get to manifest in my life, whether it be wealth, whether it be accolades, whether it be accomplishments, or the approval of people. So in getting these things, I could then reveal myself to be as I ought to be. Whatever the voice is that comes to you to tell you that you're not as you ought to be, if you then do something to try to present yourself to be as you ought to be, you've now adopted the wisdom of the serpent. And now you're walking in death and darkness because you're living from a voice that didn't come from God. And you're living from that voice because you're trying to reveal yourself to be as you ought to be. But God's already told you you are, so that your flesh can rest and you no more try to become. Glory to God. So what saved me from walking in death and darkness, when I heard the voice of the Father's opinion about me in the resurrection of Jesus, the same opinion that raised Jesus from the dead, raised me up from a life of walking in death and darkness, the same word that raised Jesus from the dead, the same spirit that dwelled in Jesus, that contained the Father's good opinion of him, that raised him from the dead, it dwelled in me, and it raised me up from a life of walking in death and darkness, where I was all the time trying to reveal myself to be as I ought to be, when he came and he delivered me from that life with a word that said, Greg, you are. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he persuaded me. He came to me with this good opinion, guys, and he persuaded me that I was dead to the word that said I was not. He came to me with his good opinion of me, and it persuaded me that I was dead to the word that said I was not, but I could become. Because he persuaded me that I am. And in persuading me that I am, with his good word about me in the resurrection of Jesus, he persuaded me, he strengthened me to consider myself dead to sin. He strengthened me to consider myself dead to the word that said I am not. Okay? And in this good opinion that the Father always had of me, that he shouted from the heavens in the resurrection of Jesus, this good opinion, this word of God's good opinion of me in the resurrection, it caused me to walk in newness of life. Okay? It strengthened me with resurrection life. Glory to God. Glory to God. So listen, guys, there's two voices that have been released into the earth. One voice comes from the serpent, and that voice tells you you are not, but you can use your ability to become. That's the voice of the serpent. And he's trying to get you to partake of sin or to partake of his logic so that you're all the time living in death and darkness where you're laboring and toiling, trying to reveal yourself to be valuable, trying to reveal yourself to be as you ought to be. And so you enlist the strength of your flesh to try to become. And in doing that, it subverts your soul. And what it does is it produces the works of the flesh in your life because you can't produce the life of God through your own ability. You see what I'm saying? You can't produce the life of God through your own ability. You can't reveal yourself to be as you ought to be through your much working, through your much toiling, from your much efforts to create a picture of yourself through your own ability. That's what we try to do, right? We hear a word that tells us we aren't as we ought to be. And then we get busy trying to create a picture of ourselves that we can present and say we are as we ought to be. That's partaking of sin. So Jesus has come, and God, in raising Jesus from the dead in the resurrection, He has presented us with the picture of who we are in Jesus. He has given us the picture that He has of us in His heart in order that the picture He has of us can then dwell in our hearts. Glory to God. That's the strength of God to consider us dead to sin. It's in the Word that He declared about all of us in the resurrection of Jesus. That strengthens us to consider ourselves dead to sin, and it strengthens us to walk in newness of life, because when you function from I am, you're functioning from the same place God is functioning from, and so you're walking in the very same life that God is walking in, okay? But if you function from the place of I am not, but I can become, then what you're doing is you're functioning from the place that Satan functioned from. Okay? And then out of that can only be born his life. So let your minds be washed clean, guys. Let your minds understand what sin is. Sin is that I live from the place of I am not, but I can become. Right? That's what sin is. Don't function on what you're doing. Don't function on the fruit that can manifest in your life. The fruit manifests depending on the place that we function from about who we are. Okay? Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for resurrection life. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you, Father, for presenting to all of us what you believe about us, what you believe about man, that in seeing and hearing what you think of us and what you believe about us, that word can dwell in our hearts through your Spirit, and we can find our bodies and our minds and our souls raised up from a life of death and darkness and raised up unto resurrection life, raised up unto newness of life. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you resisted sin on our behalf in order that in your death unto sin, once for all time, that there could be a resurrection, that there could actually be a thing where we could hear the voice of the Father telling all of us that we are His kind, that we are His children, that we are His image and likeness, that we can begin to live from the place of I am instead of I am not, but I can become. Thank you, Father. Amen.